Hi, everybody, and welcome to the RHAP B&B, a Survivor Fun and Games podcast. My name is Mike Bloom, talking about Episode 8 of Survivor 35, as the jury has officially started to crystallize, as Jeff Probst said, and I actually did his peculiar hand movements at the same time to really make the impression somewhat accurate. We've got a great panel here to break down this episode. First, let's introduce the person who is here week in and week out on the B&B, Liana Boris. Liana, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm really happy to be here talking about Survivor and not Big Brother or breaking down Josh's game from this season. You can't see it, but I have the pots and pans. I'm just kidding. But no, I'm happy to be here. Really excited to talk about this episode.
You don't have the pots and pans because you're not going to cook all of us a nice hearty breakfast, are you?
No, well, certainly not if Joe's there. I'm still on the, you know, how would you, well done, really?
I mean, that's how he likes his hash browns. But we are joined by a very special guest. As Liana mentioned, you have heard his work not only in the So You Think You Can podcast competition, but also in the myriad Big Brother updates that came in over the course of the summer. He also came in as a Game Changers expert in earlier this year to talk up Malcolm Freeberg's game. He's our neighbor to the north, so we know in true Canadian fashion, he will always acquiesce a spaghetti dinner to us at the end of the day. Puya, my man, welcome to the B&B.
Thank you very much for having me, guys. I gotta say, family style only. I don't want to be facing any of you when I'm eating spaghetti. That is a man spaghetti duel. No one else should be witnessing the way I crush spaghetti.
I really like that new take on family style where it's like, okay, it's one big dinner, but you all eat separately.
I feel like that actually Survivor is really speaking towards what the living room is like in 2017. We're like, nobody's looking at each other. Everyone's in their phones or in their tablets or looking at the TV. You know, you feel like you're secluded, even though you have to be within a group of people. So good on Survivor for really holding a mirror up to the current societal standards we hold towards ourselves in this technological age we live in.
It's very deep of Survivor. That's like, I just really appreciate them really tackling the social norms and mores of today's society. Like, yeah, go Survivor.
What a roller coaster. What a roller coaster. Well, Puya, as is requisite on the B&B, people know you primarily as a Big Brother person, but I know you're a big Survivor fan as well. How did you first get involved with the show?
So it's interesting. So as many people know, I was born and raised in Dubai. I didn't move here until I was 19. And I didn't have any internet beyond dial-up until I was 16. So TV in Dubai, they have their own channels, obviously. And they pick and choose what shows go on there. As far as reality TV goes, Amazing Race was on TV, not Survivor, not Big Brother. So I'd watched a bunch of Amazing Race, but I had never watched any of the two. And I had read about it at some point online, and I was intrigued because, like, I was always in on the competitive reality, you know, sphere, but I never had an opportunity to watch. So one summer I was in Sweden visiting my mom's family, and I just remember watching on TV, and this it comes back from commercial. I'm just switching through channels, and it's this coffee shack and people are having coffee in the wilderness. And then I kind of just let the TV stay on, watched what happened. I was like, okay, so this is Survivor. This is the thing I read about. Cool. Then fast forward to many years later, after dial-up has been removed and my dad decided we are now worthy of, you know, unlimited internet. And now I had downloaded a bunch. So at the time, first season I've watched to completion would have been Nicaragua, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who was it that also watched Nicaragua?
Haley.
Was it Haley that Nicaragua, like, brought her back into the fold of Survivor?
I don't know what it is with the all Canadians and starting with season 21. That's your Gretchen Cordy moment, apparently, yeah, for us Americans.
I mean, we like us some Fabio, apparently. So that was the first season I watched. And then I watched Redemption Temple for the cool kids. I watched Redemption Island second. And then I moved to Canada for university. And then I kind of fell off the wagon. Until about 2-3 years into university, I watched Cagayan. And then I decided, I'm in, I need to continue watching. So I went backwards, 28, 27, 26, 25, all the way back. So that was the method I chose as well.
Did you just Benjamin Button Survivor? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Went all the way from 28 to the humble beginnings. And it was around Cagayan when I also ended up finding RHAP. So that really pushed the craze and the cravings to make it through that journey.
This is all so interesting to me. First, I loved that coffee reward essentially went right through you, much like the coffee reward did for the survivors previously on in this season. Coffee really is a universal landmark there. It's so interesting to me that in Dubai, the only CBS reality show that they would put on was The Amazing Race. And maybe it's because they traveled around the world and there was a good chance you'd see some Dubai on that show.
I think that was, you should have seen the scenes when I remember the one leg, I don't remember which season it was. They ended up in Dubai. They're in the indoor ski slope and people there were losing it. Like, look at us on TV. We're doing great. And then I went online and found out there was a cab driver that cost one of the contestants or the team some issues because of the lack of flexibility. I was like, yep, that's classic Dubai for you. Not a fan. But yeah, that was the show. That was the show. I don't know if it was just a matter of, ooh, watch some scenes or sights, and it wasn't so much for the competitive reality of it all, but that's what we got.
Well, there's no U-turns here, so you're okay.
Good. I'm glad there's no fast-forwards either. Thank you.
No, well, maybe, I don't know, the listeners might be using some fast forwards, depending on what we talk about over the course of this show. Let's get to the episode proper. Puya now has internet. He's been watching Survivor backwards, but now he's up to the present point, including this episode. As I mentioned before, we started off the jury here as Desi became the first member of the jury. Liana, what'd you think about this episode, first and foremost?
So I've seen a lot of people be down on this episode, and I really liked it. I really, really enjoyed this episode. I think maybe just because it was the complete chaos of the whole like idol flag kerfuffle thing and then the reward challenge with that twist. I thought all of it was just, at least the first half of the episode, I thought was really interesting. And what I've decided is that no one is playing well this season. Literally no one is playing well, because I'm trying to think, I'm like, okay, the people who have made really good strategic decisions, have put themselves in positions of power, are making big mistakes, right? So Chrissy and Ryan whispering right in front of Cole, who hasn't made, you know, a lot of great strategic decisions, is running around doing insane things. Like, who is really playing well? I mean, the only people I could come up with are what, Lauren and Devin, and they haven't played amazingly well, but they really haven't done anything necessarily wrong so far.
Mm-hmm. Puya, what are you thinking about this season so far?
I think this season has been interesting. First and foremost, I want to say, I think as a community, we were spoiled this season, and not in the sense that we know the outcome, but more so in the sense
Puya,
that...
that's a trigger word right there for Survivor fans.
Calm down, everybody. There's no boot list. There's no spoilers. Relax. We're all good. I'm more so talking about the fact that this came off the heels of Australian Survivor, and I know the many people that watched it, in talking to them, they're kind of sour on the season. And I think that has to do a smidgen with that. The fact that we got this amazing season, a lot of meat and potatoes, and then we came to this season. And to be honest, it did start slow. It did start slow, but I really, really have enjoyed it. And I think it has to do with the fact that outside of one person, I'm genuinely enjoying watching every person remaining in the game, both from a personality aspect and narrative aspect. And then you've got, as Liana said, like, everyone's playing. Some people are not playing well. Some people are playing well, but they've all made mistakes. There's flaws in everyone's game, and I could genuinely see most of these people, if they win, I would be okay with it. I think outside of one person,
who's that one person?
I mean, come on, you can't mention you hate one person, then just sort of dangle that above our heads without mentioning anything. That's very Dubai-ish of you.
apologies in advance, but Ryan is the person.
Okay. No, I feel like that's, I mean, I think people are free to like and dislike who they want to. It's interesting because I actually do feel like, and this is something we really haven't talked about on the B&B so far, and, you know, maybe we'll get into a little bit as we talk through this episode as well. I do feel like there is a big community dislike of Ryan, and I feel like we really haven't had anyone on so far who's really vocalized that sentiment. So I'm intrigued to hear from you personally. What do you not necessarily like about Ryan at this point?
All right, I will volunteer to be that person. He puts the dick in diction. I feel like Ryan really tries to be meta, and he thinks he's self-aware. And I feel like he's feeding us these one-liners that he's meticulously come up with, and he thinks they're funny, or he thinks he's like kind of, you know, touching or like shouting out the past. I feel like some of the isms he says, so like, let's see, let's recall, talking about I would like a big log in the back. Nothing like a big log in the back of the truck. That's one. Do you need a man's touch? That's another. This next week's preview, we've seen him say, I have an idol in my pants. Like, there are easier ways to say all these things. I just feel like he's extra for the sake of being extra. Some of the things he say, I feel like have been rehearsed. And like, we don't really get this with Survivor. I feel like more so, like, obviously Big Brother's its old juggernaut of being fed lines and like saying things specifically in the diary room. But with Survivor, I feel like, as well, it's not so much his fault. I gotta say that too. I feel like this whole fish out of water story that we've gotten so many times to this point, it's gotten tiring. I mean, I feel like we're all in for new people, new backgrounds, new personalities. And I feel like Ryan's really trying to be this like hybrid of these players he has seen. And I feel like he's making moves to be like that. And it just falls flat for me. Even his humor falls flat for me. I remember, I think it was the third tribal we saw where anything Ryan was saying at tribal just felt forced, and the comedy was forced. The tricycle, forced. The birthday party, forced. So it really hasn't been rubbing me the right way.
It was a sad birthday party. Thank you very much.
Oh, sorry.
Well, I think that's kind of what Todd said on the recap episode this week, is that Ryan is sort of a person, an archetype that maybe we've sort of seen before, and we want to see somebody else. But I will say now with Ryan, because I also sort of, he was kind of rubbing me the wrong way. But now it's like fun to make fun of him. So I'm actually okay with him staying, because he had this line this episode that was like, kids clamor for the taste of spaghetti. And I just want to make a meme of him like in some SpaghettiOs commercial or something.
Yeah. But he's at a SpaghettiOs party that nobody else attended.
Yeah, it's like a sad SpaghettiOs birthday party. I don't really know what that looks
like. Well, I mean,
like.
Listen, Rye, I didn't go to your birthday party because you wrote SpaghettiOs birthday party across the top of it. Don't serve me an ice cream cake, not, you know, $2 worth of cold Italian food that's in a can.
Oh my God. Okay, so I was never allowed to eat SpaghettiOs when I was growing up because my mom's like very health conscious or whatever, so we'd eat weird white people food like quinoa. And
this is the same mother that also keeps chickens in your house right now, right?
Yeah,
just so
yeah,
we're
yeah,
on
yeah,
the same page with
yeah,
where
yeah,
your mother's
mother.
Coming from.
Same insane mother. Yes. So I was never allowed to eat SpaghettiOs. So when I got to college, I was like, I'm going to eat SpaghettiOs. Like, I'm so excited to eat SpaghettiOs.
My God.
So I get a can of SpaghettiOs and I like eat it. Like, I poured it in my bowl, heat it up, whatever. And I was like, this is awful. Thank you, Mom, for never making me eat this as a child. It was really gross.
So would you rather have eaten a can of SpaghettiOs or eaten a spaghetti dinner that four other people have eaten before you?
Okay, yeah, that was kind of gross because it was all on the same plate. Like, you didn't even get to divvy it up. Like, it was
family
just all on the
style.
Same plate. It was family style. I did like the fact that they didn't have to eat with anybody. So as long as that was the case, then I'm down with that.
I mean, I went gaga for this reward. Spaghetti might be one of my favorite foods, which
it's
a real hit list considering my expression towards other certain types of food. Spaghetti, I did not eat as a child. It did not, you know, it didn't have lines, but it wasn't slathered in butter, so I didn't eat it. But I don't know, there's just something about spaghetti. So just having like that big ass breadstick as well and that giant thing of Caesar salad, like that would have been, I would have done like a Ben-esque jump for joy if I had found out that I was winning a spaghetti reward. Going back to the episode itself, what I will say is I'm actually in agreement with Liana. Through the immunity challenge, I loved this episode. There was just so much fun stuff going on between Lauren's advantage, which I'm sure we're going to be talking about, what I have coined the take a vote, leave a vote advantage on Twitter. I think it's a really interesting way to, if we have advantages of the game, this is one of the first advantages that really provides an opportunity cost. Not to go back to the Big Brother well too many times over the course of this podcast, but almost reminds me of the Temptations which I put in loose quotes during Big Brother 19, where, you know, they wanted to encourage people to take temptations, so they never really gave a drawback to anything. You know, it was, for example, hey, you can be safe at these evictions, but also you can curse another person with being nominated. You know, it's something that like really doesn't, it's not really something that costs you in order to, for a benefit later on. So I'm happy that they brought that element in there. Then you have this really fun mechanic at the reward, and you have Joe getting involved as well, which culminates in this idol digging and even through the immunity challenge, which, you know, was very bug crazy. I guess that's where the Fijian bugs really like to nest. I do think that, I'll say this, I said this last week, I do feel like the post-immunity challenge into tribal council, it did leave a little bit of people confused, definitely online when the episode first aired. As always, I feel like rewatching things definitely puts things more into context. You could see smaller moments, like there's a point where we see, you know, Ben talking to Mike about how you should swing over and vote with us. And then you have Mike and Cole at the well talking. So that almost foreshadows a bit them jumping over. Whereas on paper, when we first saw it, I think we were all confused by 2 points. One, why did those two healers jump over to vote with the Heroes and the Hustlers? B, why did they target Desi over Joe? And I was able to answer, I think, both of those questions in my exit interview with her. We'll definitely talk about some exit press that Desi has done down the line. But yeah, I feel like when Survivor tries to go for sometimes with these, I don't know if I'd call them audience blindsides, but definitely hiding the reasoning behind the strategizing more in order to provide a surprising outcome, that can sometimes have repercussions within the fandom itself.
I mean, I think it's okay to, you know, to set up the suspense of, is it going to be, you know, X or Y or even X, Y or Z? But you have to provide reasoning for why it could be each one of those people. And I feel like with Desi, like, yes, we theoretically know that she's a challenge beast and we see a little bit of people talking about it, but it was never really set up. Whereas Joe was like, you know, getting into a fight with Ben, everybody talking about how Ben or how Joe is the worst, you know, how Joe rubs people the wrong way. Whereas we saw so much more of how it could have been Joe and so little of how it could have been Desi. And then also that scene. So when I rewatched also, I saw the Cole and Mike scene. But it was like 5 seconds long. Like yeah. If I had blinked, I think I would have missed it.
Yeah. I feel like it left a little to be desired from that aspect though. So I typically watch the episode live in my living room. And then when the rewatch I do, I sit on my computer, headphones on, volume blast out, full screen. So I noticed a couple small things here. I noticed that Ryan was in both scenes when Joe's talking to Devin and Ryan about Ben being the biggest target. And then again later, you see Ryan and Ben together talking to Mike about trying to convince Mike to vote that way. So I feel like it was kind of interesting to see Ryan there. But at the same time, we have to go back to the boot of this week, which is Desi. And I feel like for a character that was so underexposed all the way leading here, I typically expect when someone's underexposed, when it's their time to go, we're going to see them a lot more than we've ever seen them. And I just didn't feel like we got that this week. And I feel like it has to do with what you said, Mike. I think the whole audience blindside is kind of wanted, but I don't think we want it. I think they think we want it.
Well, Ryan's a little weasel, so it makes sense that he would have shown up in all of the in all of those scenes. But yeah, I mean, the edit did Desi dirty. Like that's a tongue twister. But, which I feel really bad for her because, you know, I think that we really didn't get to see a lot of what she was thinking or what she was doing in the game. And there's always going to be people like that, right? I mean, we talk about the purple edit, but at least give her a little bit of something. It felt very Katrina-esque. You know, but Desi also got the added sting of having an entire season of little content.
Well, we have Desi on the brain. Let's segue into our preseason predictions segment as we start to go into the fun and games of it all. So Leon and I each wrote down how we thought Desi was going to do in the course of this game. We're going to read out our preseason predictions now. Puya, as the guest, it is your jurisdiction as to who had the more accurate predictions. Liana, let's start with you. How did you think before the season Desi would do? I know she was very high on a lot of people's lists preseason due to her interviews with Josh. Did you feel the same way?
So, well, you'll find out during my prediction. So I had Desi actually going pre-jury for the following reasons. I'm sorry, Desi, but you're literally perfect. So there's no way you could win this game. As a social, strategic, and physical threat, Desi intimidated the men, women, and chickens, won an Aurora challenge on her tribe. During her time on the beach, Desi also formed some sort of weird buddy-esque comedy duo with Ryan. They have lengthy discussions on the merits of turtlenecks. She goes home right before the merge as the pre-merge boot.
I like how you said buddy-esque comedy instead of buddy comedy-esque, as in like, it's a comedy, but are they really friends?
Yeah.
They're not really friends.
Exactly. It's
buddy-esque. This might shock you, Liana. I also had Desi going home pre-jury.
Oh my God. I
wrote, this is our shock pre-merge boot. Call it your Anna Kate, your Mari Takahashi, or your Darnell Hamilton. Though Desi impressed with the press, she will be sized up as a threat immediately to some people on the rest of her tribe, like Joe, Mike, and Rourke. With those three being most likely on the chopping block heading into a healer's tribal council, they decide to swing for the fences and take out someone who could be much more dangerous down the line. The bat connects, down goes Desi, and the internet cries, robbed G. Otis for the rest of its days.
Aww.
Well, Damn, simpatico over here with both of you. I don't know where to go with this. Wait, let me remember correctly. So hypothetically speaking, Mike, if you win, you're all tied up with Liana. If I give you the win.
Okay, first of all, don't use this. Don't use any prior record. Just simply the fact that I had her going home right before the merge as the pre-merge merge boot is probably closer than wherever Mike
had her. But you also had her be Biffles with Ryan. So if we're going to do this like positioning, Liana, let's position. To go back to your question, Puya, I believe we've done 7 so far. I believe Liana's gotten 4. I've gotten 2, and we've each gotten like the remainder when Haley was on the podcast.
Ah, the remains. Yes. Okay. So here's the thing. I thought about this yesterday. I thought there would be a shot that I would be in this position where I have to kind of break a tie because it's kind of even. And I was listening to last week's show, Mike, and you nailed it. You mentioned that you think Desi could be the one going this week. And I really didn't think that was going to happen. So I was like, ooh, I think Mike has the edge. And then I decided I couldn't sleep. So I'm like, I decided, okay, what should I do? I went back and looked at, you know, you mentioned at the top of the show, I am a Malcoholic. I went and watched the Know-It-All's reaction to Malcolm getting booted.
What? That's not even related to this.
Hey, first of all, Malcolm deserves a shout out every podcast, okay? First of all. Second of all, Mike, why were you smiling and clapping? Liana, congratulations, you take this one. Okay?
This has nothing to do. You are blaming the prognosticator, Yay! Not the actual prediction. If we had a blind taste test with these two, you would have picked mine. This is pure BS on the completely arbitrary rule system we made up for this podcast.
Yeah, I think this is totally fair. I stand by this decision. We didn't talk about the criteria, really, apart from all the criteria you laid out at the beginning of the show. So I think it's fair for the person to come up with whatever, you know, whatever judgment criteria they want.
You were a little too happy, Mike. Admit it. You were too happy.
I like that. Wait, when did this happen? This is like what, 9 months ago?
Yeah, this was something I did 9 months ago when I was a much younger and different Mike Bloom. Listen, I like me some Malcolm as well. But I also love me some good TV, and that was good TV. And yes, I look like the most callous asshole that has ever existed. That will forever be immortalized. We had, actually, at the Live Know-It-Alls last week, my wife and Jessica Lisa and I were all sitting together, and Josh was sitting a couple rows behind us, and he came up. He's like, all right, who's going to get the camera on him when the votes come in? if they did, it would have been me very sad, because I actually really did enjoy Jessica, and it was sad to see her go. But, all right, look, if we're going to take prior indictments into account, I'm happy to give the point to Liana here.
Yeah, remind me never to say anything bad about anybody's favorite contestant that we're going to have on for the rest of the season.
Well, okay, here's another thing to consider too, Mike. Let's face it, Liana's made this ridiculous story where Patrick's at the top of the food chain, so she's going to crumble worse with every coming week. Let her collect as many points as she can now before
But she's already ahead.
Yeah, but you're going to take the win at the end. Lauren hasn't come up yet. Apparently, Liana did not see her in a good light. And Patrick, where's Patrick? I feel like Liana's L's are coming soon. You take this one for now. She'll take the rest.
How dare you? The Patrick Alliance was supposed to dominate, okay?
Hey, I gave you a point, and I look biased, okay? Let me be.
Okay, all right, fine. Okay, well, considering all of those shenanigans aside, so let's get into our first sort of segment that we're going to do this week. So I don't know if either of you have heard of the game MASH, but it stands for Yes. Mansion, Shack, Apartment, House. And it's a game that was probably, I think I played in middle school. But you essentially what you do is you get to predict what your future would be like. So you get to list categories of, you know, who you're going to marry or how many pets you're going to have, where you're going to live, what job you're going to have, all that stuff. So what we're going to do is we took a variant on the show, and shout out to Jamie for giving us this idea, but we're going to call the game Shambo, and we're going to play out what your game would be on Survivor if you were to play Survivor. And Shambo doesn't stand for anything. I really tried, but I gave up and came up with my own categories.
In true Shambo fashion, it's going to be such a dream as to how we play on Survivor. I played some MASH as well. The weird thing for me is that I usually ended up playing MASH at like a dinner with like friends or family friends. And, you know, when you like are given someone to marry the categories, usually if you're young and you don't have that much of an imagination, you sort of like look around the room and try to like point out people to write down. Really awkward when you're at dinner with your family. You're like, all right, I can marry mom. Aunt Stacy, the waitress.
Well, really, if it was Family Style, you wouldn't see anybody, right?
Yeah,
based
sure.
on the season of Survivor. Okay, well, so we're not going to be marrying anybody on in this game, but we
but
are.
But Jeff Probst is an officiator. He could probably do it if need be.
That's right. Could step in and execute that showman. So, okay, so what we're going to do is I have come up with fate in the game, but what you're going to do is give me sort of Mad Lib style some things that are going to help fill out the rest of your game. So, and there are different categories for both of you, so there's no repeats. So we'll start with Pooya. So I'm going to need you to give me the names of four former Survivor contestants.
In any shape or form?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
And any iteration, so New Zealand, Australia also count?
Let's stick with U.S.
You got it. Okay. Malcolm.
Ugh.
Wow.
I did
how
not say that.
You.
That was Liana.
Yeah. Can I rescind my point? Can I reevaluate my points
Mike,
now?
Mike is the person who ugged.
It sounded like Mike. Definitely. Liana.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
Okay, all right,
Stephen Avery right now.
Outrageous. Okay. Liana. Suri is the next one.
Okay.
Kim Spradlin.
Okay.
And just for a little bit of randomosity, let's go with Shane Powers.
Okay. All right. Now I'm going to need four numbers.
Is there a range?
No.
Okay. My favorite Mambo, so number five. Ozzy's favorite, 420.
Okay.
Let's see. Let's go with six, and then let's go with 78.
All right. Now I'm going to need four nicknames that you've been called or nicknames that you want to have.
Ooh, okay. Can I explain them as I go? Because these are going to be pretty
yes,
embarrassing.
Please.
So, as you all know, my name is Pooya. So, pretty much people thought it was a nickname growing up and they'd ask for my real name. I'm like, sorry, it's my real name. Anyways, so, okay. First, I'll go with my parents. Shout out to both of them if they're listening to follow on from last week. So, they had two names in mind before I was born. It was either Pooya or it was Rod. So put down Rod as the first one, sadly. What a missed opportunity. Anyways, and then the rest of them are not so smart, but these mostly came up right around middle school and then high school, believe it or not. So Winnie the Pooya was another one I got. No explanation needed.
Okay.
And then the other one to this day still doesn't make sense, but I got Poop Dog Millionaire, which bothers the hell out of me to this very day. So either go with that, or if that's a mouthful, go with Brown Dynamite.
Why need four? So are those your four? Poop Dog Millionaire
oh,
and Brown
no.
Dynamite?
Ugh,
I mean,
sadly,
to be fair, you might resent the nickname, but I don't think any of us have been nicknamed after an Oscar award-winning film, so.
Yeah, right. Okay, that's something that you should
also, I'm pretty sure a Poop Dog Millionaire would have been the subtitle if Bruce Cannon Guy ended up winning Survivor Exile Island as well.
Oh my gosh.
If it was a Bruce Bobby final two, that would have been the lower third.
Right, yeah. And Bruce, the next Poop Dog Millionaire. Okay. All right. So last thing, I'm going to need four items on Survivor.
Any items?
Yeah, any items.
Okay. Can I please use one from New Zealand?
Sure.
Bag of Chucky.
Okay. Yeah. We brought that up on the previous podcast. So it's canon within the B&B.
Okay. Yeah.
There we
yeah.
go.
All right.
Because it's for closers, coffee.
Okay.
And then how about a fishing kit?
Okay.
And why am I blanking? Okay, you know what? Flint.
Okay. All right. Okay, so now what I'm going to do, the way this is very scientifically done to predict your future, is I'm going to draw a spiral. And then you're going to tell me to stop, and I'm going to count the rings on the spiral, and then that's how I'm going to go through and sequentially eliminate these categories. Okay? Does that make sense? So I'm going to say when I'm starting. Yeah, so I'll say when
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I get it.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm
trust in Rod.
That's right.
Oh, no.
Okay, Rod, sorry. Dog Millionaire. Okay, so I'm going to say go, and then you tell me when to stop. Okay?
All right.
Okay, go.
Stop.
Okay.
Well, that was
hammer time.
Okay, so here are the categories. So we're going to determine your fate in the game, and the potential fates that I've written for you are voted self out, a la
what?
Tyson and Heroes versus Villains. You were medevaced due to the reward item that you won.
Ooh,
you
like got a Poop Dog Millionaire.
Yeah.
I really.
You got a purple edit, or you were the robbed G.Otis.
Okay.
Okay. And then you are going to find out who your biggest enemy was on the season.
Ooh.
The number of individual immunities you win.
Ron 78.
Yeah, 420. Probst's nickname for you.
Oh, no.
And then, yeah, what you win at the reward challenge. And if you get the medevac due to reward item, it is due to that reward challenge item that you won.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. So, Mike, tell us a story while I do this.
Sure. Well, we'll pull you. We can wait. Let's talk a little bit about the episode while we were doing this.
Yes. Can I... Wait, I have some things to talk about this episode.
All right, Jasmine Masters, what have you got to say?
Oh, my days. Okay, so has anyone here seen Matilda the movie?
Oh, yes. Mara Wilson classic.
So, as I said earlier, I do my rewatch, headphones on, volume high. Every bite of food Devin took, he moans after it. And it bothered me so much. It reminded me of Bruce from Matilda eating the chocolate cake and
Bruce
making
Bogtrotter,
those noises.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was kind of interesting to hear. Not so much interesting as much as weird. The couple, two other things I noticed, when Jeff Probst says that you will enjoy salad, it cuts to JP, shout out Tri-Tip. And then, when JP gets eliminated in the immunity challenge, he goes to congratulate Cole, they fist bump, and then promptly for a small millisecond, JP flexes his pecs. And I will try and get
I saw it. There's a gif of it.
Yeah. So that was very noticeable for me, too. And then, Mike, can we please talk about Ryan's body and Ryan's facial reactions during the immunity?
Okay. Well, can we talk about that later after we find out your fate in the game?
Yes, please.
Okay. So, Puya, unfortunately, you got a purple edit this season.
Oh, your biggest purple Puya.
Your biggest enemy was Suri. You won 420 individual immunities. Probst called you Winnie the Pooya, and you got the fishing kit at the reward. So thankfully you were not medically evacuated due to the fishing kit, because
wait a minute. Okay, let's think about this though. You got a purple edit, your biggest enemy was Suri, you won a fishing kit and 420 immunities. Pooya, did you become Ozzy in Survivor Game Changers?
Become the person that I despise? I mean, at this point, at least it's good to know Liana's going to be a fan of me, because Liana loves Ozzy.
How dare you? My love for all the Golden Boys is ironic. I told you that.
Of course. I don't know how I feel about this. Not good on first impression, but also, am I happy that Jeff Probst didn't call me Brown Dynamite or Poop Dog Millionaire? Yes.
I was going to say, the luck was on your side, at least in that category.
Yeah, it could have gone every other way, and I'm glad it didn't.
Yeah, plus you didn't vote yourself out or get medically evacuated. You got a purple edit. That sucks. But, you know. And you went up against Suri. I mean, the most formidable opponent of all. So
right.
I can't believe she took you out even after you won 420 immunities. I guess you just couldn't make it 421.
So close. Okay, so Mike, ready to play your game of Survivor?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I'm going to need, again, the names of four contestants.
Okay, give me Coach Benjamin Wade.
Mm-hmm.
Give me Miss Sandra Diaz Twine.
Okay.
For Survivor historians fans out there, give me Karen Grodel, the much maligned from Survivor Palau.
Okay.
And give me, it has to be contestants, not loved ones.
Sure, you can pick a loved one.
Give me Colby Donaldson's brother, Reed.
You don't want his mom?
No, I don't. I'm very happily married, Liana.
I still think that's my favorite shot of like Colby's mom like lovingly looking at her son while
I know
he
speaking
showers.
Of coffee, Puya, I'm surprised the thing that didn't hook you was Colby Donaldson's mom watching him shower behind a Pontiac Aztec. Yeah.
Okay, all right, so now I'm gonna need four numbers.
Okay, give me 9.
Mm-hmm.
4.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to think of what Kelly Goldsmith's answer to her jury question was in Survivor Africa, the room number in The Graduate, but I'll say 26.
Okay.
And 3.
Okay. Now I'm going to need 4 Probstisms.
Ooh.
Ooh. Let's see. Let's go with let's get it on, as Rob has pointed out in the past few weeks.
Okay.
Let's go with no shot at winning.
Okay.
Let's go with let's go with come on in, guys. Just a simple one.
Okay. Okay, and one more.
I'll go with something from this most recent episode that confused me a little bit. Let's go with experienced slingshot slingers.
Yes. That was okay. Weird.
It could be a proptism in the making. There hasn't been a puzzle made after it yet where they have to fill out the word puzzle slingshot slingers, but it was a very confusing turn of phrase for me.
Okay, experienced slingshot slingers? Is that what he
yes.
said?
Yes. Okay, yes, he said he's like good on Ryan and Chrissy for getting their turns out of the way to bring on their experienced slingshot slingers.
That's very bizarre. Okay, so now I need four body parts.
Ooh, give me in honor of Josh Wegler, give me toe.
Okay.
Give me right eyeball.
Okay.
Give me hip bone.
Okay.
And give me belly button.
Okay, that's great. Now you can talk about, okay, well, so let me just outline this for you, Mike, what your possible fate in the game is going to be. So your four fates that I've written up for you are: you misplayed your secret advantage, you got rocked out, you were an OTT edit but you went pre-jury, or you were the winner of the season.
Oh, boy.
The big one. Okay, so the other categories that you filled in for me are who you're going to have a showmance with.
Oh, no.
the number of hidden immunity idols you're going to find. The phrase that Jeff Probst keeps yelling at you during challenges. And the location you got sand in, which almost led to your medical evacuation.
Ooh, eyeball.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, I'd be Shamar then in that regard. Hopefully I didn't get sand in my hip bone.
That sounds dangerous. Okay, so I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to say when I'm starting and you just tell me when to stop.
Okie dokie.
All right, starting.
Stop.
Okay. All right, so now you can talk about Ryan's creepy body.
So this was a really interesting moment because sometimes, you know, I feel like we were just talking about propsisms when he said, oh, his heart is literally beating out of his body. I'm like, okay, this is just a typical, you know, person using literally incorrectly. But then when you actually saw it, it was a little crazy. And I mean, there definitely are people that have lower body fat out there, but I think he might officially now be the skinniest Ryan, right? I feel like Ryan's shoulders does not compare to Ryan now that we saw his heart literally beating out of his rib cage like a cartoon character.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking on the rewatch too, because I didn't notice it that night. I didn't notice it initially. I noticed him licking his lips weirdly and spitting, and I'm like, why are we zoomed in on his face? But it was surreal to see. I feel like he's definitely now the skinniest Ryan, or at least in contention for that award.
Well, that being said, though, I mean, do we feel like he's in an okay state? We're not feeling any sort of medevac coming anytime soon, because he seems to be maintaining pretty well. I think he's also lucky that these challenges are very much for now, like, stand still and shoot something at a target, or just stand still and hold something up.
Yeah, I think he seems fine. Like, there's nothing that he's done or seemingly like looks like that I would think, oh no, I'm worried, or like he looks a little bit weak or anything like that. He seems fine, but as you said, it all depends. Like, I feel like later on, if there's a little bit more running intensive or back and forth, maybe that's where he's gonna have a bit of problems ahead, but as of right now, he's okay.
That wasn't actually his heart. Like, I just want to clarify that, like, that was a muscle spasm.
Ooh,
that he was
okay.
having, because your heart, that's not where your heart is located. And also, if that was happening, he should not be on Survivor in the first place. Like, if your heart is for some reason lower and literally like sticking close, like, that's why your rib cage exists, to protect your heart and lungs. So if his heart is like exposed, there's no way they would let him on Survivor. I just want to clarify that, because yes, it was super gross and it terrified me, but there's no way. It has to be a muscle spasm.
Okay.
Do you think Dr. Mike had to clarify that as well, and it just wasn't shown?
Yeah, right, exactly. That's what he's there for, right? We've talked about this. He's there to replace Dr. Joe, because they don't want to pay for Dr. Joe anymore. They're like, we'll just get Dr. Mike out here. Okay, Mike, are you ready to find out your fate in the game?
Absolutely.
Okay, so first of all, you misplayed your secret advantage.
Of
Sorry,
course,
Mike.
Yes.
You were in a showmance with Reed, Colby's brother.
Oh, yeah, baby!
You found four hidden immunity idols. Jeff Probst kept yelling at you during challenges, experienced slingshot slingers.
I was hopeful that would happen.
And then the advantage, or the sand, the body part that you got sand in, which almost got you medically evacuated was your belly button.
Oh, it's tough to get out. I am an innie.
Yeah. I don't know. That's rough. I really don't know what that means, that if you'd be so close to being medically evacuated due to sand in your belly button. Like, I don't really know how that works, but...
That's okay. Reed could get it out.
That's right.
Oh boy, yes. I can't wait to meet Mrs. Donaldson at Thanksgiving next week. Aww. It's gonna be fantastic.
That's gonna be a lot of fun. Well, congratulations, both of you. You had really wonderful games in Survivor.
Wait, so who won, Liana?
Let's see. Well, I don't have placement. Mike misplayed a secret advantage and you got the purple edit, Puya. So I have to imagine Puya probably made it further. Especially because he won 420 immunities.
Yeah, that's true. Like, and I also played four idols. So.
That's true. You did have four. Well, you found four hidden immunity idols. You might have misplayed them and gotten voted out with them or something. Plus, you almost got medically evacuated.
Knowing me, I would probably get an advantage that says, here you have four hidden immunity idols, and I would play none of them at the right time.
Yeah. Well, and you almost got medically evacuated due to sand in your belly button. So I think if we're really the culmination of everything, if we're going to pick a quote-unquote winner, I would probably have to go with Puya on this one.
Yes.
Yes. Congratulations, Poo Dog Millionaire. even though you were not a millionaire, you did indeed beat me in this Shambo-like circumstance.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we were trying to come up with things for Shambo. So I was like, oh, shelter, you know, A stands for ally, like M if they get medically evacuated. I was like, B, like what is O? Like, what do B and O stand for? It was difficult, which is why I came up with our own things.
Well, I think B and O stands for how much you smell on the island.
Right, B O. Yeah, just combine those two.
How many times you have to go wash your ass, as Sandra would say. Puya got a purple edit in this made up scenario that we came up with, which is actually perfect. It ties in line with our most recent boot as we move into a game I'd like to call Undesirable Confessions. Ooh. Unfortunately, Desi sort of did get the short end of the stick when it came to confessionals this season. But she's definitely not the first Survivor contestant to do so. This was made by Paul Osleson. Thank you so much, Paul, for making this for us. It's going to come in several parts, and we're going to have the two of you face off to compare Desi's confessional total to other confessional totals of other Survivor contestants over the past 34 seasons. How does that sound?
Oh my gosh, I don't even think I know how many confessionals Desi got this season.
You will find out.
All right, great.
Liana, you're about to get that Portman Tribe redemption here. I think I'm going to have a rough time here. We'll see.
I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see what happens.
And things like that.
Well, but before we get to that, since I know we talked a little bit about Desi at the beginning of the episode, I know I did an interview with Desi where she broke down her thoughts on the game. It was interesting, a couple of interesting things from that interview. From my perspective, amidst the chaotic vote that occurred, I think a lot of people were asking, why did you vote for Lauren? According to Desi, that was the plan she thought all along. She thought all the healers were supposed to vote for Lauren, and she was literally the only person to do so. And she also knew when the numbers were shaking down that she could theoretically stay if she voted Joe, even though she didn't know that the other healers would flip on her. But she chose not to. Do you guys have any reactions to that? Obviously, there were some other things that were said in other interviews that I think have drawn much more intense conversation. But those were the two major points that I got from my conversation with her.
Yeah, I mean, I can see where she's coming from, that, you know, she had talked about, well, Joe is the only person that she ever felt like she could trust. But, you know, at the same time, like, there's no path for you to win even if you stick with Joe, right? I mean, you and Joe are still on the outs. So I think try to buy yourself a couple more days and then make it a little further. I mean, I know that, like, for example, Jessica Lewis has talked about, why she didn't flip and why she wanted to go to Rocks, because if she didn't go to Rocks, there was no way, you know, she didn't see her game unfolding in a way that she could win. And so she wanted to take the risk. But for Desi, vote out Joe, you know, save yourself the time, because you and Joe are not going to somehow then be able to steamroll the rest of the game.
Yeah, I feel like I have to agree with that. She kind of did cite as, you know, Joe was like the one person I could trust. And it's like, that may be the case, but there is no way with this person and the way he's been behaving and the chaos that ensued pre-tribal with Ben and the Marine thing. You surely cannot see both of you ending up in a situation where you are going to get followers or get numbers to proceed. I feel like that was a situation where she should have just made that move, especially, I don't know, like, how bad must one feel? You're sitting there and then you realize, well, not only did I not do that, my you know, the people I was with didn't even vote that way. And now I'm going home. And I feel like it's interesting because, you know, when moral code comes into the game, you know, there's two schools of thought. Some people think you leave your moral code at the door, you do everything you can to progress. And then when you get home, you repent and you resolve and you learn to live with that and you move on because it's your real life is not the same as Survivor. And then there's some people that just can't stray away from that. And I feel like the two people, not to like under talk Desi right now, but the two people, the two biggest characters this season that we have are the Ben and the Chrissy, where Chrissy is morals at the door, doing whatever she can to win, very strategy intensive. And then you've got Ben, who's like very, I wouldn't say like complete moral code, but he definitely feels a certain way. There's some things you know he's never going to do. And there's arguments on the internet as right now, whether he's done it or not. And this is, you know, the beauty of this game. But I feel like Desi should have done it anyways.
Well, I mean, I think that she, like, I mean, now just to kind of take it back, but like, I think she knew that she was screwed no matter what. Like, her and Joe were screwed. So, you know, she knew she was going to go out like the next week anyway, even if Joe went. So, but also, I don't know what moral code includes hiding in the bushes, but that sounds like a moral code that I think I could abide by.
Well, who knows? Who knows if he was doing something else in the bushes at the time when she just happened to stumble upon that conversation? You never know.
Oh, my.
Dun, dun, dun.
Looking for those four immunity idols. All right, so let's get to the game itself. Round one here, we're going to do some rapid fire. So we're going to go back and forth between the two of you. I'm going to give you Desi and the name of another Survivor player, and you have to tell me gut instinct, first reaction, if Desi or that person got more confessionals in their time on Survivor. So we'll start with Puya, then go Liana, then Puya, then Liana, then Puya, then Liana. You'll get three each in this first round. You'll get a point if you get it right. You get no points if you get it wrong. Any questions about that?
Nope. Excited to tank it. Let's do it.
All right. Well, we're going to start with Puya. So we'll have a few seconds of respite before you get to tank it. Again, nice. I'll give you two names. One will be Desi, one will be a Survivor contestant. Rapid fire, you have to tell me which one got more confessionals. Puya, let's start with you. Desi or Dara Johnson from Survivor Pearl Islands?
Desi.
Desi, incorrect. Liana, Desi or Jeff Wilson from Survivor Palau?
Desi.
Incorrect. Puya, Desi or Bobby Bob Dog Mason from Survivor Exile Island?
Ooh, more.
That's correct. Liana, Desi or Tom Westman in Survivor Heroes vs. Villains?
Tom Westman.
That is correct. Puya, Desi or Tony Vlachos in Survivor Game Changers?
Oh, Tony, more.
That is correct. And finally, Liana, Desi or Shireen in Survivor Cambodia?
Oh, Shireen.
That is correct. You guys definitely had a rally in those last four questions, and you've done better than you thought, Liana. You're tied up now 2-2.
This rapid fire. Oh, my goodness. You can see, just much like Ryan, my heart beating out of my chest.
Yes, I'm glad you didn't do the... I mean, you were about as rapid fire as Becky and Sundra during the tiebreaker in Survivor Cook Islands.
That's right. Yeah, we'll be here for hours.
But yeah, so this will go into the next round. But just so we know, Desi got 8 confessionals total over the course of her time in Survivor. Of that list that I gave, the only person to get less was indeed Bob Dog, who had 5 confessionals during his 5 episodes in Survivor Exile Island. But you were both tied up with 2 points as we move into part 2. Now, what's going to happen in part 2 is I'm going to ask each of you a multiple choice question. If you get it right, you get 2 points. If you get it wrong, the other person has a chance to steal and enter the question correctly and get 2 points out, which will be very key as you were both tied up. So Puya, let's start with you here. So again, I'll ask you a question, a multiple choice question. If you get it correct, 2 points. If not, Liana gets a chance to steal here. So Desi got 8 confessionals in this season. Which of the following survivors did not also have exactly 8 confessionals during their season?
Exactly 8?
Okay.
Exactly 8.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Stephanie Favor from Cook Islands. B, James Clement from Heroes vs. Villains. C, Stacey Powell, Blam, from Survivor South Pacific. D, the aforementioned Ozzy Luce from Game Changers / Puya from Survivor Shambo.
Oh, no. Shade taken. So exactly 8, right?
So, yeah, 3 of these got exactly 8. 1 did not.
Ooh, recency bias. I think D, I think Ozzy got more than 8.
That is incorrect. Oh. Liana, you have a chance to steal. Your choices are A, Stephanie Favor from Cook Islands, B, James Clement from Heroes vs. Villains, C, Stacey Powell from South Pacific.
Oh, man. Okay, well, there were just so many characters on Heroes Villains. I could see James, even though I would want to say he got more, I could see him only getting 8. Stephanie from Cook Islands.
That is correct. Stephanie Woo-hoo! Faber, in her 5 episodes on Survivor Cook Islands, got 13 confessionals,
what?
5 more than Desi did in the course of her 8 episodes on Triple H.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay.
You are up 4-2, and you also get this next question, though. If you get it wrong, Puya now has the chance to get some retribution and steal the points back from you. So again, Desi got 8 confessionals during her time in this season. Which of the following survivors did not also have exactly 8 confessionals? So again, I'm giving you 4 players. You're going to pick one who
did not. I'm going to write them down. I get it.
All right. Perfect. Reading is fundamental. So one of these survivors did not have 8 confessionals. A, Rancher Rick Nelson from Survivor South Pacific. B, Matt Quinlan the Rooster from Survivor One World. C, Paul Wachter from Millennials versus Gen X. D, okay. Troy Zan from Survivor Game Changers.
Wow.
Oh, Troy Zan. Oh my God. Okay. All right. So I think I'm going to go with, and this can be more or less, right?
Yes. It's just whoever did not have 8.
Okay. I think I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to guess Paul.
That is incorrect. Puya, you got a chance for a revenge here, baby. A la The Outcast. It's either Rick Nelson, Matt Quinlan, or Troy Zan, who did not have exactly 8 confessionals like Desi.
I celebrated when Liana got wrong, but then I looked at the list and I'm like, this is harder than I thought. Troy Zan, you said Game Changers, right? Not One World?
Yep.
Okay. All right, let's talk through these. Rancher Rick was there for a long time. So was Troy Zan. Gotta imagine. They were both kind of invisible. So I gotta assume they got 8. Matt kind of went out, what, 3rd? But Matt was kind of the talking head in the beginning, first 2 episodes before he went out. Oh, this is my 8 mile. I hate this. You know what?
Mom spaghetti.
Yeah, I know. Family style spaghetti, tribe spaghetti. He's
Kids
nervous.
Love the taste of mom's spaghetti.
They clamor for it.
That's right. Clamor for the taste of mom's.
Can you imagine Eminem in like that SpaghettiOs commercial with Ryan?
Oh, yes. That's okay. That's part of the meme I got to Photoshop later.
It's a very Buddy-esque comedy right there, Liana.
Yes, Buddy-esque. Okay.
Okay. So the fact that it has to be exactly 8, two out of the 3 of them have exactly 8 confessionals, mm-hmm. and 2 of them were in the top part. Troy Zan, I would say, had 8. Rancher, I'm going to go with, you know, I don't want to be damned by Troy Zan because I like Troy Zan. I'm going to go with Matt. I want to go with B.
Opportunity does come once in a lifetime, but not this time, Puya. The answer is Troy Zan from Game Changers. Troy Zan, for all of the purple Troy Zan talk, got 13 confessionals in his season. Actually, as many as Stephanie Faber did in the previous question.
That's
and the crowd goes wild.
So,
okay, learning
Liana,
so
you, due to that steal in the first question, you are leading 4-2 as we go into the final round here. I'm going to again ask you each a multiple choice question. Again, the other person has a chance to steal, but this time each question is going to be worth 3 points because put on your Chrissy caps, folks. We're going to be doing some math here.
Oh, no.
So, Liana, let's start with you this time. So, again, Desi got 8 confessionals. How many Desis fit into a Russell from Samoa?
Oh, my God. Russell got so many.
You have so many choices here. A, about 3 Desis. B, okay. about 13 Desis.
Okay.
C, about 23 Desis. D, about 103 Desis.
Wait, what? Oh my goodness. Because I'm trying to think, I was like, oh, okay, 3. Like, well, as soon as you said 13, I was like, there's no way it's more than 13. But
I've got
now
the
I'm,
answer, by the way.
Oh, okay. Okay, great.
No pressure.
Okay. Well then, okay. Well, it's not going to be 24. Okay. I'm going to count 3. There's no way it's 800 because I really just don't think that that's feasible. Okay. I guess I'll go with 13.
Puya, you did not have a chance to steal because that is correct. It is about 13 desis. Russell had 108 confessionals in Survivor Samoa, which is about 13.5 desis.
Is that like the most confessionals anyone's ever gotten in a season ever? It has
he
to
is
be.
Number one. He's number one on the list. God.
Yes, that one other person was Russell in this case. All right, Puya, I believe you're out of contention right now, but just for the fun and games of it all, let's see if you can finish strong here. On the other side of the spectrum, Russell has got a bounty of confessions. Someone who really did not and lasted around the time Desi did, if not longer, is Leaf from Survivor One World.
Yes.
How many Leafs fit into a Desi?
Oh, and you're talking confessional wise, right?
Yes, exactly. We are okay. we're not doing any fan fiction here. Nothing X-rated here on the B&B. A, one Leaf. B, two Leafs. C, four Leafs. D, eight Leafs.
Four Leaf Clover. Oh my god, but how many Desis could fit into that box that Leaf was sleeping in?
Desi could probably pick that box up with Leaf in it over the top of her head. True. She's that strong.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Oh, two. I'll go with two. Four confessionals. He had four confessionals.
That is correct. And I also want to see everyone end the game with a smile.
Yay.
B was correct. Leaf had four confessionals during his time in the game, which amounts to two Desis, or two Leafs in one Desi, double teaming her, I suppose. but congratulations. Liana, with that steal in round two, you have put yourself in 7 points to Puya's five. You are the winner of Undesirable Confessionals.
Yes, I got my redemption from the Portman Tribe game of last week.
Yeah, you predicted it, Puya. So hopefully your correct prediction of me crushing Liana in the predictions game moving forward is going to hold true as well.
See, I'm good with predictions. Also, Liana, this is your redemption for the massive loss you took to me in the Happy Hour draft last year. So, congratulations.
Dare you?
Congratulations.
We don't talk about drafts here. We don't talk about drafts.
Fine.
Why? It's fun.
All right.
I won.
Well, enough of this nonsense. Now let's talk a little bit more nonsense as we dive into the Casuals Corner this week.
Yes.
So again, what I've done is I've gone into the Survivor Facebook page and I have pulled comments that have been made by people on that page. And Puya, what you're going to do, I'm going to read you four comments and you're going to try to identify the one that I wrote. Okay, so three of these were written by actual people on the actual Survivor Facebook page and one of them I came up with. Okay, you ready to play?
Let's do it.
Okay, so this first, there were a lot of comments about the spaghetti reward. Like, there were overwhelming opinions. I'm telling you, the majority of the comments were all about the spaghetti reward. So, this first question is all about that. So, number one, there is no way I would have eaten any of that spaghetti with everyone digging in. So absolutely disgusting. Just a plate of germs. If I wasn't first, I would have rather have eaten a bug. Number two. Why do they even bother to give them salad? Number three, sharing spaghetti, I'd rather starve. Or number four, that spaghetti needs more sauce. Looked kind of dry and tasteless. Although if I was starving, I wouldn't be too picky.
I'm glad that person sort of came around on their opinion at the end because, oh my God, I love being a food snob and being like, these starving people should have asked for a little more marinara, a little more bolognese on that spaghetti in the middle of the jungle.
Yeah, exactly. And I believe the silverware was not appropriate. I'm sorry. You really need a salad fork for this. All right. So, Puya, what do you think it is? I can reread any of them if you'd like.
Okay, so I'm just going to go through the logic, then I'll ask you to reread the ones that I've got, like, shortened down to. So off the top of my head, four of them, three were spaghetti intensive, one was salad intensive. I know you love salads, and that would probably be something to catch me, but the fact that I would imagine you would try and pepper yours to be similar to the others, it's going to be more spaghetti intensive. So I'm ruling out B. I'm ruling out A because you do not have the time to write that big a comment about spaghetti, even if you're trying to fool me. So please reread C and D for me.
Okay. Number three was sharing spaghetti, I'd rather starve. Or number four, that spaghetti needs more sauce. Looked kind of dry and tasteless. Although if I was starving, I wouldn't be too picky.
Okay. I think to channel your inner casual, I believe you wrote C.
That is incorrect. I did write the salad one.
Oh!
No, I'm sorry.
Very Wallace Shawn of you, very Vizzini. You picked the one that I thought I didn't pick, but when I actually didn't pick the one that you picked.
Yeah, we'll be here all day. It's okay, I have an immunity to salad. So, okay, so now we're going to move on to the next question. And this is your nicknames for one particular contestant in general this season. And if you can guess who these people are talking about, you actually will get a bonus point. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So the number one, that was hilarious. Didn't anyone at all see turtleneck guy walk away from the sign after tucking it down his pants? Number two, Cole is so dumb. He should have the plate right away, like that skinny little one did. Number three, why are they letting Brian call all the shots? 75 pounds can't win. Or number four, that dude skinny creeper telling everyone he got the idol. Lol.
I'm pretty sure number three probably was just finishing their first watch of Survivor Thailand, and they decided to take to the Survivor Facebook page and register their complaints.
Yeah, that's entirely possible. Although, you know, Mr. Freeze himself, 75 pounds. I guess by the end he got pretty skinny. But
that third comment reminds me of Rafi from The League calling Brian.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, Brian.
Come on, Brian.
Okay, so I want to go on a limb. This is difficult, but Ryan...
Sure, yes. These are all comments about Ryan. Like, very few people used Ryan's actual name. They just had all these little digs at him. Skinny little one, turtleneck guy, dude skinny creeper, or Brian, which we all know is an insult.
Was Rod in there?
Rod was not there, no, only
Mike,
Brian.
Mike, stop trying to make Rod a thing, Mike. It's not a
would
thing.
Would you rather be called one of your other nicknames? Like, really, Poop Dog Millionaire is what you'd rather go with?
I have to go back to C and D, and then I picked C last time and it didn't work out. Brian, you do watch The League. You could have done that. Can you repeat D again?
Yeah, that's dude skinny creeper telling everyone he got the idol. Lol.
Dude skinny creeper, lol. Yeah, if you're writing them, you're really trying. D. I'm going to go with D.
Yeah, D is correct. But nice. Actually, so it's super funny. I was talking, I found out one of my friends, he's a casual and he watches Survivor. He did call him Dude Skinny Creeper. So I don't know if that's cheating, but I took an inspiration from friends of mine.
I love that. The DSC.
All right. So next question. We're going to stick on the Ryan train and we're going to talk about Ryan's pants.
Lovely.
Yeah, everyone's favorite topic.
Yes.
Okay. Brian's not going to have any room in those shorts for an idol with 5 exclamation points. Number two, there's a lot of room in Ryan's pants besides an idol. Just saying.
Okay. Contrasting opinions. One says he is sporting a coal. The other one says he's sporting a leaf.
They're not all on the same page. How many leaves? Nope, nope.
Number three.
Ryan, is that an immunity idol in your shorts? Or are you just happy to see us wrestling? Number four, everyone lost their minds. All the while, little Ryan is standing there saying, "You fools, look at my crotch." And the "you fools, look at my crotch" was in all caps.
In the interest of repetition, I need to hear all four again.
Of course. Number one, ha 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 ha. Ryan's not going to have any room in those shorts for an idol. And that has 5 exclamation points. Number two, there is a lot in Ryan's pants, or there isn't a lot in Ryan's pants beside an idol. Just saying. Number three, Ryan, is that an immunity idol in your shorts, or are you just happy to see us wrestling? Or number four, everyone lost their minds. All the while, little Ryan is standing there saying, "You fools, look at my crotch." And again, "you fools, look at my crotch" is in all caps.
So, you know, Ryan's package, or package, if you're nasty, I feel like has not really made the casual rounds. I feel like the internet folk have definitely noticed it. I don't know if the casuals have noticed it.
Oh, they've noticed.
Well, okay, that's good to know. I feel like there's something to do with the fact that you had to definitely repeat that there were 5 exclamation points. I want to go with A.
That's correct. But there were 5 exclamation points. Oh, yeah, wait, actually, hold on. There might actually be 6. I think I miscounted.
Okay, D-schoolish.
Okay, well, yeah, that's okay. It's just prepping. Okay, so, all right, well done. You have 3 points, so I don't know what that means, but our next question is all about Jeff Probst. So there are only 3 answers for this one, but we're going to talk Jeff Probst. Number one, during challenges, I often, if the survivors are thinking, please be quiet, Jeff Probst, lol, almost every time he mentions someone, out they go.
Wait, so we got a lol and a he. I mean, they were talking about, like, you know, the contestants' thoughts. I'm pretty sure this person was just transcribing their own thoughts as they were watching the challenge.
That's right. They're like, oh, let's see. Well, you know, while they're having a blank, just lol. Okay. Number 2. Holy buckets. What is up with Jeff's hand gestures at Tribal? Number 3. I find myself screaming at the TV, shut up, Jeff. # he never shuts up.
So wait, there's only 3 options?
There's only 3 options, yeah.
Okay. The first one sounds like everyone's Nan on Facebook, so that definitely seems right. With all those dots, you'd think they're hiding exit press from other readers. Then can you repeat
shots fired?
No, not gonna name any names, nudge. Liana, can you repeat option B?
Yeah, number 2 was holy buckets. What is up with Jeff's hand gestures at Tribal?
Buckets?
Holy buckets.
Holy, yeah. Holy buckets are what my bae Reed played with Colby when he was in Heroes versus Villains.
That's right. That's why they couldn't get me. It was definitely not Reed's or Colby's fault.
And then the last one with the hashtag. Can you read that one too, please?
I find myself screaming at the TV, shut up, Jeff. # he never shuts up.
It's C. It's C. You would never say holy buckets. It's C.
It's B. Holy
oh, you schooled him.
What?
Yes. I heard it on an NPR politics podcast. Somebody said holy buckets, and I was like, oh, holy buckets. I got to write that down. That's something I'd never say. So, but now I'll start using it. So, you know, I've ruined that.
All right.
But,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for the next time I do this when you know, you're like, egads, what JP did was disastrous.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just gonna look up like old timey exclamations and
yeah, like but not like old timey like several years ago, like old timey like hundreds of years
ago.
Yeah.
That's what I mean by old timey. Like we're going way back, like 1700s. Okay, that's how we're really gonna fool you. Okay. Oh, doth see Ryan's heart. Oh wait. Okay. All right. So our final question. This is just a potpourri category. So number 1. If Cole had to pee, he should have just done it right at the flag. No one would have wanted to dig in it. Number 2. Did you see Ryan's heart? Get a medic. Ew. I wish I could bleach my eyeballs.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm morbid.
Number 3. Lauren had a special paper she found. She didn't have to vote. And then number 4, the only one left I like is JP.
Ooh.
Ooh. Well, as much as I want to say Liana wrote the last one because I know she loves JP, I'm not going to say that. C was the one that did not sound like any kind of commentary. It was just a blank thought. I think C is Liana.
Much like Lauren's vote.
Much like, yeah. Yeah. Lauren had a special paper she found. She didn't have to vote.
That's you.
It was B. It was Ryan's heart. Oh, I wish God. I could bleach my eyeballs.
Wow. And you actually corrected yourself, your casual written
See?
Comment earlier on in the podcast. You really threw us off there.
I know. That was actually a whole setup, knowing that I was going to read this comment later.
I was going to somewhere in the background, I can hear Skrillex playing because I definitely just got Sangmin. That was ridiculous. Yeah.
I tried to make a Golden Boy question where it was like positive comments about each of the remaining Golden Boys because I found that the only one left is JP. The Devin one was actually really funny because it was, get around, Devin. He's playing under the radar slightly, hoping he goes all the way. Jump on Devin for sure.
Wait, they said get around and jump? What are they trying to urge Devin to do?
I don't know. Get around, Devin. Jump on Devin for
spin sure. Spin and grin.
But I didn't include it because Well, I didn't include it because I couldn't find a positive Cole comment. The nicest one I could find misspells his name, and it just says, "Cum needs to go."
Oh boy.
That's the reason I didn't include that one.
Yeah, if you guys had hashtags for the BNB, that would be this episode's hashtag.
Cum needs to go.
But like with the letter too. It was written out TO, but anyway. All right. Well, congratulations, Puya, because there were only 5 questions. You got 3 correct. You are the winner of Casual's Corner this week.
All right. Well, let's move on to the final segment of this week and every week on the RHAP BNB, our question of the week. Last week's question of the week in lieu of the Survivor merge. If you were able to come up with a merge tribe name and try to slip in a reference that's pretty subtle to the rest of your tribe members, what would it be? As always, I'll read out some responses that you all, the listeners, wrote, and then we'll give our responses as well. First, let's do some self-servicing here. Start off with Michael Cunningham. Tribe name, BNB. It would sound like B and B when it's said over and over, and he spelled it B-I-A-M-B-I.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Nice.
Maybe that's what we'll just, you know, if we ever need a rebranding for the B&B, that's, you know, that's our new podcast. Podcast B&B.
No. Yes, podcast, podcast B&B.
Isn't that Marty's cousin?
Piombo.
Yeah.
Yes, in correlation with Marty Piombo Productions.
Here's Jenny B&B.
We just have to have our hair like Marty. As long as that's happening, then I'm happy.
Yes, absolutely. Next up, Hunter. My merge tribe would be Xanadakis, and we would all have to work hard and play hard.
Would you make it to the merge to be able to name it that?
I guess you'd have to. And I mean, but I feel like, you know, I think Rob, maybe it was last year during Millennials versus Gen X, talked up how some people... Survivor has such a storied history that I feel like you could try to slip in, you know, a nice tribal sounding last name into the merged tribe name, and we'll see if, you know, anyone would balk at it. But Xanadakis is so far back, and Zoe outside of like the hardcore fan circles is so innocuous, right? That like I think it could actually play.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see it working. I think I would be fooled like if I didn't know any better. It sounds tribal.
Absolutely. Mel Got Served, the great Mel Got Served, said Obmahs. O-B-M-A-H-S, which is Shambo spelled backwards.
Well, you know, we all love Shambo here on the B&B, so I would support that one as well.
Yes, it's the Mount Rushmore of the B&B is Mookie, Shambo, when maybe Gretchen Cordy got voted out.
And all of Survivor Nicaragua.
Maybe, and then Leaf will be like sort of an addendum on the side there, because how many Leafs will fit into Mount Rushmore?
Right.
Matt C. says, in honor of last week's guest, Colin Stone, I would try my hardest to get the merged tribe named Sangmin. It sounds tribal enough to convince others and would be a great tribute to my favorite reality TV contestant of all time.
Yes.
I think it depends on the location if you could really sell Sangmin. Or you have to come up with a good, like, what does it mean, you know?
He who hides under tables.
Yeah, right. Oh my goodness. Yes, very. Or genius, right? That's.
Yes, it just means we're all geniuses.
We're all geniuses.
This is the inevitable, geniuses versus giraffes season of Survivor.
Yeah, we'll get there one day.
We took 10 of the tallest people and 10 of the smartest people to truly find out who wins in the battle of height versus brains.
Yeah, it's Survivor geniuses versus giraffes. Can you imagine then when he like flipped the vote, the first person voted out of giraffes versus geniuses?
Now, Bob, as a giraffe, how does this vote make you feel?
So I didn't think you were actually talking about just tall people, like, you know, your Scott Pollards of the world. I thought you were talking about literal giraffes. Like the animals versus the people. I feel like the animals might win.
I think I'd give the edge to the animals. They can see it coming from a mile away.
That's true. They do have those innate animalistic senses. Felipe Shimon says, if Hakuna Matata, speaking of giraffes, would be nixed by production for copyright reasons, I'd love to name it Elamelanikin Do Ed Preakin Elamelani Do Ed Pre after my favorite kind of trolls. Puya, this is referencing your first ever reality show, The Amazing Race, where in the past season, they had the weirdest challenge I've ever seen, where in Norway, I think, or Finland, they had to walk around with a giant firework to read a poll to trolls in order to collect notes from those trolls.
Yeah. Oh my god. And then, but then they had to like carry around those giant fireworks, and then there were the people dressed up as trolls. That was very bizarre.
And they had to like knock on random. They had to basically go door to door with giant prop fireworks, reading off these poems, which Rob and I still think are salacious to this day, to get a clue from them.
I believe it.
My.
Can you imagine the like casting call that went out to find all the trolls? Like, looking for six trolls.
Oh, you know that there was like a people were legitimately thinking like, oh, I get to be in that movie, Trolls? Great, I'll go out for it. Wait, what? What do you want me to do?
You mean I have to give 6-foot fireworks, like paper mache fireworks, to a bunch of random white people? What?
John Tinkham says, my secret tribe name, partially in honor of the B&B's constant Mookie references, would pay respect to everyone's favorite players from Survivor Amazon, Guatemala, and Fiji. The name would be Blame Moo Butch Towes Lockley.
I feel like we've really stepped away from a possible actual tribe name that would work, but these are hilarious nonetheless.
What do you think Blame Moo Butch Towes Lockley would mean?
Yeah, I don't know. Let's see. Well, definitely something about collecting firewood, obviously.
Ooh, how about the cow that collects firewood? Because there's a moo in there.
Yes, this is the classic Fijian saying.
Yeah. No, it's a Fijian folklore story about the cow that would collect firewood that was left outside in the middle of the night every night.
Yeah, that'll go over well.
Finally, from Mary Wall, enough already with Wiggler's toe. Her tribe name would be Tywig Toe.
Well, now we're going to have your belly button in contention for that, too. You're going to have to keep us updated on how the sand is working.
Blue Navel. That would be my tribe name, I guess.
There you go.
All right. Well, let's hear what the panel has to say. Puya, what is your merged reference-heavy tribe name?
Okay, so before I say reveal mine, I was re-listening to the B&B last night, and Liana said she was going to go ask the Rootbot what he was going to say for a first date. So I went ahead and I asked Rootbot, if you could name the merge tribe, what would you name it? This is what our beloved Rootbot responded to me. Tribe out, and that it is a good about the game when you are so glad to the endoriately. And then I replied, give me a name, amigo, to which he said, name to see that in the game that was still have a strong game again. So,
so a little on the long side.
Yeah. So Rootbot's having a stroke. Someone go help him out, please.
Wait, what was the last word of the first tweet?
I don't want to repeat it because I don't think I pronounced it right, but I'll do it.
Okay. Oh.
Endoriately. So I-N-D-O.
Yeah, that could pass.
Yeah. It's a bit of a mouthful for me, so I hope I'm not on his tribe.
I will also say, I sort of came to this realization just now, could JP be running the Rupert Bot's tweet account?
Oh, I would 100% believe it. I tweeted, so I, you know, like most people on Twitter, finally got upgraded to the 280 characters, and I used this wonderful opportunity to tweet out a partial transcript of JP's latest confessional. I mean, the man, he said, let me see, hold on, I got to pull it up, because he said, you know, like once every 4 seconds or something like that. It was, I mean, it's amazing. So unless the Rootbot, I guess maybe unless the Rootbot starts saying, you know, more often than, one, you know, every approximately 4 seconds.
Wow.
I think that's definitely possible. Now, can I just quickly go off on a tangent and say that I realized last week you guys spoke about how you think Chrissy's going to be in the finals. I know you guys talked about how you believe there's going to be a tie, which I'm also in that camp. I do think there's going to be a tie. What I'm interested about is whether the third person or the third place finisher has to break the tie. Do they do that live or do they do that there at Tribal? Regardless of the fact, I would like to think that they have to like talk about it a little bit and justify it. I want, what I want is JP to be in the final three. I want JP to be the third place finisher, and I want to hear him go through it. You know, we saw what happened and it was rough and things happened, but then what's interesting about this game is that, you know, you get to play this game and, you know, things like that. And I think Chrissy did amazing, and I think X did things like that. And I, you know, I want that. I want that in my life.
That's
that would be
good.
Amazing.
This is pretty good. Like, that's a really good JP impression.
Yeah, that's you should tour that around comedy clubs.
Thank you. I've been, I'm very, very, very good at filibustering. So I think just as long as you filibuster and you use those key trigger words, it works.
Yeah, JP's type 5 is more like a type 20. But anyway, so, okay, so for my merge tribe name, you know, my mother has now, and I've mentioned her once on this podcast, love her to death, but she has her house chicken. And yes, the house chickens, the breed is a Brahma. So she calls the chicken Brahma Mama. And so I think I would want to name my tribe Brahmanamana.
Yeah, I was going to say, do the Muppets pop up and start singing along?
Yeah, exactly. I think it would really be great. And, you know, I don't know what it means. Maybe, I don't know, mentally unstable in honor of my mother.
Anyways, one who bonds with fowl.
One who bonds, exactly, yes, and bans SpaghettiOs.
Oh, so cruel, so cruel. I personally went with Mana Haora, with an apostrophe in the middle of that, means that one who is friendly with all.
Aw, you actually tried.
And at the reunion, if I'm comparing myself to pre-merge contestants, I can say, I, on the other hand, was a Mana Haora.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I love that so much.
I totally missed that the first time. I was yeah, that sounds really good. I like
blindsided.
It.
Blindsided.
And that I guess that makes mine the most successful then, considering that it completely phased you the first time.
Well, I didn't get to do mine because I repeated Rupax.
Okay. Oh, what was it then?
Okay, so I would go with Ilikav, which is Tagalog for unity and prosperity.
Wait, how do you spell it?
I-L-I.
Mm-hmm.
I-L-I-K-A-V-A. No, it's the last part of my last name, okay? I just flipped it around. And I can't spell it, apparently, so that's lovely.
I'm sorry that you can't spell your own name.
You might as well go with Poo Dog Millionaire for the tribe.
No.
That's my new tribe name.
Because we're all going to be millionaires by the end of this, dog.
Oh my God, it really is the Bruce Bob Dog finale. Oh, that's so good.
All right, next week's question of the week. Back in the first week, we talked about where's the best place to hide an idol itself. But in lieu of the plate stuff that happened this week, we're going to go to the idol clues. Give me a typical Survivor reward that happens almost every season. And within that reward, name the best place to hide a clue, the most entertaining place. So again, with the spaghetti reward this time, we found it on the bottom of the serving plate that Ryan decided to throw into the middle of the jungle. Good job, Brian, skinny dude, whatever his nickname was that the casuals gave him. So yeah, again, typical reward that the tribes go on and a place to hide an idol clue. You have a bunch of ways to reach out to us. You can always ping it to us on Twitter using the hashtag RHAPBNB, the letter B. You can always respond to the post in the Rob Has a Podcast Patreon group, as well as the post on the robhasawebsite.com, Reddit, wherever you have it. We're going to cull them together and read them next week. Next week, by the way, Puya, I don't know if you even realize this, you started a little bit of a world tour that the BNB is going to be going on for the next several weeks. We started in Canada. Next week, we are going across the pond. No, the late Dan Kay from Survivor Gabon, not in the pond, across the pond, to the United Kingdom, where Dom Harvey, the other half of the Dom and Colin podcast — Colin was obviously on last week — he'll be talking to us about the Thanksgiving episode with the American holidays that weekend. We decided to reach out internationally, and so Dom's going to be coming on to talk about that episode with us. But yeah, feel free to let us know your answer to the question of the week, as well as any overall feedback you have about the BNB, any games you want us to play especially. You can always reach out to us on Twitter. I am at a Mike Bloom type. Liana is at Liana Boris. Puya, thank you so much for coming on. How can people find you on social media?
So across all boards, I go by at Puyaism, and I actually — fun story, not so fun actually, but I'm going to say it anyways. So I have searched, obviously, as many people do, to find out who has the at Puya Twitter handle. It's some guy who does not use his Twitter and just likes tweets every now and then. I actually, a couple months ago, emailed the guy and asked him if there was any way I could take this Twitter account. He did not respond. So it's sad. So
because he probably knows you can't spell your own last name backwards.
Listen, it's I-L-I-K-A-V, okay?
I think he's just living up to all Puyas and has that purple edit. Maybe the Puya we were speaking of with the Shambo game was that man.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe it's not actually you.
Yeah, no, I broke the mold. I'm not like any other Puya you'd ever meet.
Well, now I have to search online to see if there are any marriage listings for Reed Donaldson and another Mike Bloom.
Yeah, who knows? It might be a real thing.
Feel free to check out all this stuff I'm doing with Parade.com in terms of Survivor exit interviews. I'm also doing SNL podcasting on post-show recaps. I am recapping Stranger Things season 2 episodes at a time at Jay and Jack, getting to the, from what I hear, very polarizing episode 7. I have yet to watch it yet, but I'm having a lot of fun getting to do that. Make sure you're subscribed to Reality TV Wrap Ups as well for coverage of The Challenge, which I'm fairly sure is ending next week. Finally.
No one knows.
Who knows?
Are You the Ones coming to a close? We've got the Taryn Show going on. Just had a really nice interview with Nicole Cesternino. Be sure you check out the main Survivor feed as well. Liana mentioned Rob's interview with Todd. 4 years in the making, I thought was really great. He'll have Brett LaBelle on as well. And The Wiggle Room before it all happens again. For all of our American listeners out there, have a happy family-style turkey Thanksgiving. Hope you're thinking of us as you're sitting alone in your dining room, carving off your piece of turkey as your family members wait in the living room to cut off their own slice and possibly throw the trays everywhere.
Can you imagine me like, oh yeah, no, I definitely did the dishes. I didn't just hide them out back. That's just my new strategy for, oh my God. Okay. Never mind.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, we'll get to some Thanksgiving strategies next time. Maybe educate Dom with them. But thank you to all you geniuses, giraffes, and everyone else out there for listening this week. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.